Our friend with no name said he wanted to wait until Alyssa got caught before he told you. I said you deserved to know, but he insisted, so it's not my fault. I would have told you. In hindsight, it's probably a good thing I didn't. You would have been worried for nothing all this time. 10 years is a long time to wonder if someone is making your babies in a lab somewhere. I want you to know I'm not a bad person, even if you think I am. I made a mistake. Several mistakes, really. What I did to Vincent was awful. But after that, all I tried to do was help. I saved him after that. That should count for something. I saved you, too. I'm not saying we should be best friends, but maybe we could. When we were training together, all I could think about was you. I wanted you to open up to me. When you didn't, I felt like I was the one with the problem, like I didn't deserve you. Now I know it had nothing to do with me, that you just weren't ready. I wish I had figured that out at the time. I would never have hurt Vincent if I had. I wouldn't have sent you running into his arms by being so pushy. I realize that now. I know it's too late for us to be together, especially now that you and Vincent have a child, but I think we'd be good together, even as friends. Being a parent is a lot of work, and with everything that's going on, you're going to be really busy. You could probably use all the help you can get. I want you to know I'm here for you if you need anything. Your daughter isn't a baby anymore, so I'm not offering to be your nanny, but I could be like a big brother to her. I can give you a shoulder to cry on when you need it. You know, I just want to be there for you. Anyway, that's what I wanted to tell you. I think I said that already. I wanted you to know before they sent you to fight again because, well, you could die there. I know you're ready for that, but I thought you might want to see your daughter before you do. That's it. I wish you all the best, and I hope you'll let me know how things turn out. Your friend, Ryan.
Part 3. Flesh and Blood. File number 1554. Interview with Vincent Couture, Consultant, Earth Defense Corps. Location, EDC Headquarters, New York, New York.
Where's Kara?
We will discuss her whereabouts in a moment. There is a lot we need to cover today, Mr. Couture. First, I would like you to tell me how you and Themis ended up in Canada.
Well, it's hard to move around when you can't see anything. I thought I had turned Demis completely around, but I was about 30 degrees off. That's how I ended up in Canada. All things considered, I think I did okay.
The question was not meant as a reprimand. I was simply curious as to whether or not you chose that destination.
I had no idea where I was or where I was going. I kept moving forward until there was enough of Demis above water for me to see outside. I didn't know where that island was either until I turned on my cell and Google mapped it. From there, I stuck to shallow waters all the way to New York. That gave me some time to figure out how that thing really works.
Dr. Franklin told me you had talked about the possibility that Themis could transport herself. She seemed to suggest the odds of discovering anything we could use were not in our favor. Should I take your ability to return to base in one piece as a sign that we have beaten those odds?
Oh, yeah. It's even better than I thought. When I managed to get Demis moving again at the bottom of the ocean, I was convinced we were dealing with a multiple coordinate system. That could have been a nightmare for us. Turns out it's a lot more user-friendly than I thought. It's, point and shoot, more or less. You orient Demis in the direction you want to go, then you punch in how many units you want to move forward. What confused me is that you get to define those units beforehand. The shortest distance she can move is about 50, 60 feet. That's a very short step for Demis. So for short distances, you can use that as a unit, then enter how many times that you want to move forward. The console will take 3 digits tops, so the biggest number you can enter is 777. That's in base 8. In base 10, that means 511.
If I understand correctly, The farthest Themis can transport herself is 511 times 50 feet, which is roughly 25,000 feet.
It's 25,550. That's about 7.8 kilometers. If you want to go farther than that in one jump, you can increase the unit size. You can use three digits for that, too.
So the maximum distance we can travel is 511 times 50 feet.
Times 511. In the neighborhood of 4,000 kilometers. I wouldn't recommend jumping that far unless you end up in the ocean again or in the middle of the desert. It's easy to use when you see where you want to go. We'll need a map or something for longer jumps. I'm supposed to talk to the guys downstairs. It shouldn't take them long to program something we can use.
Can it be used safely?
For us, yes. It really does all the work for you. It'll put you on the ground at the distance you told it to go. It's not so safe for anyone at the destination. People, cars, buildings, well, whatever can't support the weight will be crushed. We'll have to be careful. But it'll be a hell of a lot faster than taking her apart and loading her on a boat. I can't say I'll miss spending a week at sea, either. I know Kara'll be happy. Where is she?
We will discuss your wife shortly. Has General Govender made you aware of the current situation?
He said that the aliens are back in London. That can't be good.
I wish that were all. Since then, several more robots have appeared in largely populated areas on four continents. The last one materialized in Rio de Janeiro 9 minutes ago. There are now 13 robots on Earth, all nearly the size and shape of the one you battled a year ago.
He said the one in London hadn't made a move yet.
That is still true. None of them have. However, given our previous encounter, we cannot ignore the possibility of an attack. The density of the population in the areas where they have landed would make a simultaneous strike incredibly lethal.
Just so you know, if they start vaporizing everyone, I'll go. Kara will too, but you have to realize we can't beat all of them.
You may be our only hope.
That's not hope. I'm not selling us short, it's just simple math. We might get lucky again one time, maybe twice, but not 13 times in a row. I don't think our odds are even close to 50-50, but say they were. You can't flip a coin and get heads that many times. We'll go. We'll go because it's better than just sitting here watching, but we won't win. You need a better plan.
NATO is planning a nuclear strike in case you are defeated. However, even if that strategy proved to be successful against the alien robots, the fallout from 13 large-scale nuclear explosions all over the world would be devastating and would be felt for decades. That cannot be our first option. I feel obligated to tell you that if the aliens turn hostile, the order to send Themis will be given. If she's operational.
What do you mean, operational? I brought her back in one piece.
I suppose now would be a good time to discuss your wife. Themis is not damaged, but she is not operational because she is missing a pilot. Ms. Resnick has left the base unauthorized.
Kara's gone AWOL? Is she in trouble?
Given the current state of affairs, military discipline is not the issue. What concerns me is not that her absence is against military rules, but that she is absent. Without her, this organization, and perhaps the entire world, is absolutely powerless against what could be the prelude to a full-scale alien invasion.
Where did she go?
I believe she intends to visit the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico.
Why?
Read this.
What is it?
It is a letter. An electronic letter from Ryan Mitchell to Ms. Resnick. That letter is what sent your wife on what I can only assume is a rescue mission, the purpose of which will become amply apparent as you continue reading. I should also remind you that the content of this letter, while shocking and inflammatory, only represents one side of a much more complex story. You should—
I'm done. Is he lying?
Already?
I'm a fast reader. Is that sack of shit lying?
He is not. Mr. Mitchell does not possess all the facts. He is being irresponsible, shows a complete disregard for the consequences of his actions, and appears to be on the verge of a complete breakdown. But he is being truthful.
So it's true. I have a child.
That I honestly do not know. It is true that Ms. Papantonio removed biological samples from both of you while you were being held, and that evidence left at the laboratory suggests she intended to attempt in vitro fertilization. What Mr. Mitchell failed to mention in his missive, which would have been very helpful for Miss Resnick to know, is that all of the information he is so eager to divulge, from the existence of a child to her parentage, not to mention the threat of a Russian kidnapping, also comes directly from the mouth of Ms. Papantonio. I need not explain why I do not take everything she says as gospel.
You found Alyssa?
I did not personally locate her, but she is indeed in custody.
Do you think she's lying?
She faces charges that could normally carry a death sentence, or several lifetimes of imprisonment. The circumstances under which she committed her crimes make a public trial unlikely, but she is well aware that the United States government would like nothing better than to see her retired. She knows that without a bargaining chip of some sort, she will, in all likelihood, disappear without explanation, or fall victim to something more mundane, get lost at sea, or succumb to a mysterious disease. She, therefore, has ample reason to lie. That said, I am tempted to believe her. She could only buy a few days by sending us on a wild goose chase.
Where is she now?
In a safe house, under 24-hour surveillance.
Oh.
What are you thinking?
A child.
A daughter. Yes.
Now?
She would have been born a decade ago. We are only finding out about her now. Oh. Mr. Couture.
What?
You do not appear angry.
You mean it's you?
Yes. I did hide what I knew about what Ms. Papantonio intended to do a decade ago. If I had to do it again, I would still conceal that information. But that makes you no less entitled to some form of anger.
Oh, I'm angry, all right. I'm just... I can't imagine what Kara's going through.
I am fairly certain Ms. Resnick did not react so calmly to the revelations contained in the letter that you are holding.
I'm sure she didn't. She must have gone mad when she read this, but that's not what I'm thinking about. She didn't want... I tried real hard to make her change her mind, but she didn't want children. But I did, and I pushed, and I pushed.
And now?
Now? Now the world is ending. Would you bring a child into this world today?
As I previously stated, she would have been born several years ago.
How do we find Kara?
You stated that she was against becoming a mother. Do you believe she will attempt to contact the child?
She'll go. She won't come back until she finds her. She won't stop looking. There's a reason she didn't want a child. I think she was afraid it would consume her. Now that she has one, it...
She very well may not.
Doesn't matter. Now that she thinks she does, there'll be no stopping her.
Are you worried?
Yeah, I am. I'm afraid she'll do something stupid.
I am truly sorry if I...
I really don't care. I'll deal with you when this is over. What did you plan to do with the information Alyssa gave you? Oh, and how the fuck does Ryan know?
I did not want to share the information with anyone at the EDC until I could at least confirm that some of it was accurate. I requested help from the United States government.
What did you promise them? A pilot?
Not in so many words, but I did leave open the possibility. They agreed to send a Delta Force unit to retrieve the child. In the event that a child did reside at the address Ms. Papantonio provided, I asked Mr. Mitchell to accompany the Delta team and to make the experience less traumatic. There was also a strong possibility that there would indeed be a child living there, but that she would later prove not to be the offspring of Ms. Resnick and yourself. My request was later denied when the robot appeared in England.
Let's say they had gone and found a little girl. Say it was our daughter, like Alyssa said. Would you have told us?
Of course I would have.
How do I know that?
I understand that your trust in me may have been irreparably damaged. Trust, however, is not a prerequisite in this case. Simple logic will suffice. The sole reason I would have, that anyone would have, to hide your daughter from you, is to use her as a pilot in the future. I, or anyone else, would first need to determine if she can activate one or both helmets inside Themis. This could perhaps be accomplished without your knowing. That said, she would eventually need to be trained. Themis requires not one, but two pilots. Hence, the child's training would demand that you or Ms. Resnick be present. It would most likely have to be you, since you are the only one whose anatomy is compatible with the lower body controls. I would surmise that her ability to activate the controls, coupled with a likely physical resemblance to one or both of her parents, would make it near impossible for me or anyone else to hide her lineage from someone of your intelligence.
Really? Flattery? And what do you suggest we do now?
We wait. Now that the information I was trying to conceal is out in the open, I will renew my request for a Delta Force extraction, this time through the EDC and sans Mr. Mitchell.
File number 1556. News report. Jacob Lawson, BBC London. Location? London, England.
30 seconds, Jacob.
No. No, don't put me on the air. We're walking away.
What do you mean, away?
I mean that my cameraman and I are leaving. We're 5 minutes away from the van.
Why, they're ready for you in 20 seconds. What's going on, Jacob?
Stall them. The bloody thing moved. I'm getting the hell away from it.
What do you mean it moved? I'm looking at it on Channel 2. It's not doing anything.
I'm telling you, Jack, the robot moved. It shifted its weight. It moved its hands.
Shifted? You can't do this to me, Jacob. What am I supposed to wear for 3 minutes?
Weather report. Show some footage from this morning. I don't give a shit. The last time one of these things moved, 100,000 people died. It happened, oh, wait, right here.
You're being paranoid. We're all looking at it now, and I'm telling you, it's not moving.
Paranoid, Jack? We're walking on dirt. Jack, do you understand what I'm saying? We're walking on dirt because the last of those bloody robots vaporized every bloody thing that was here. We're too close anyway. I can get a better view from farther away.
Where are you going to go?
Where there's no dirt. We'll take the van and get to one of the downtown buildings on the edge of the leveled area. I can get you some footage from there.
How long will that take?
I don't know. Give us 20 minutes to set up.
Jacob, the edge of the dirt field is 2 kilometers away. It should take you 2 minutes to get there.
There are 50,000 people here, Jack. Children everywhere. More tents than you can count. There's a food station ahead of us with, I don't know, 50 barbecue grills. Hundreds of people waiting in line for hamburgers. These people have built a community here. It's difficult to walk through the crowd. We'll need to clear a path for the van.
And these 50,000 people, are they leaving as well?
No, Jack. They're not leaving. There are people coming and going, but I don't think anyone is fleeing.
And neither should you. You're a journalist, for goodness sake. Even the children are not as skittish as you are.
Go to hell, Jack. We're leaving.
What does your cameraman have to say?
Janet, do you want to stay?
Go to hell, Jack.
Okay, okay. I'll kill your segment.
What will they air?
I'll have them improvise for 3 minutes. They won't be happy. You could lose your job for this, Jacob. Both of you.
Oh, you know me, Jack. I went to a dozen wars for you. I took a bullet for you.
Your bag took a bullet for me, Jacob. You were never injured.
Another 6 inches and we wouldn't be talking. My point is, I don't scare easily. I'm telling you, I have a bad feeling about this.
Well, I hope you're right, or there'll be hell to pay.
I sincerely hope I'm wrong. We're at the van. I'll call you when we get there, Jack.
No, you won't. Don't hang up. I'll put you on the air just before the weather, but I need you in front of the camera 5 minutes from now.
Janet, Jack says we have 5 minutes.
What's she saying?
She's smiling.
That's more like it.
Janet, look in the mirror behind us. Can you see that?
Yes. What is it?
What is what, Jacob?
The air, it's hard to explain. The air around the robot is becoming thicker, like...
Like fog?
Not quite. It's like a mist slowly forming all around it. Whatever it is, it doesn't look like a natural phenomenon. I see people running away.
Is the robot making it?
I think so. I can't see where it's coming from. The air is whiter now. Opaque. I can't see the robot's feet anymore. It's not fog. It looks like smoke from dry ice. A lot of dry ice. Janet, can you drive faster? I think it's gaining on us.
Is it dangerous?
How the hell should I know? It's moving a lot faster than anyone can run. We're about 300 feet from the road, but it's right behind us. Floor it, Janet! There, that way. Okay, we're in the city. Take Golden Lane. Bloody thing's all over us now. We can't see 10 feet ahead of us. Bloody hell! It's coming through the back door of the van. Through the floor. Janet, stop!
Jacob! Jacob!
I'm here. Fuck. We hit a parked car. God, my head is bleeding. Janet! Janet! Janet's unconscious. I have to get her out. Come on, let's get you out of here.
I'll send help. Tell me where you are.
I'm taking her inside Cromwell Tower. Jack, you better hurry. Her veins are dark, almost black. Skin is all pale.
Is she dead?
I don't fucking know. I have her in my arms. I can't check her pulse. The smoke, it's coming inside the building, even with the doors closed. I have to get her away from it. I'll try the lift.
Jacob, is she dead?
I'm getting on the lift. I'll take it to the top floor. Hopefully, whatever is hurting her won't reach us there.
The police won't answer. Oh, did you hear what I just said? Jacob!
She's dead. Janet's dead. Bloody aliens killed her. She's hard. Her skin. It's like someone sucked all the blood out of her.
Jesus!
They're doing it again, Jack. They're killing us all.
I'll find some help. I'll come get you myself if I can't.
You worry about yourself, Jack. The fog will have crossed the river by now. It'll reach you soon.
You think it'll make it this far?
I'm looking through the window now. It's everywhere, as far as I can see. Anything smaller than 25 or 30 stories is completely covered by the cloud. It looks like a white sea with a few tall buildings rising out of it. Get everyone out of the office and to the top floor. Should be safe there.
What about you?
I breathed as much of this smoke as Janet did. Don't know why I'm not dead and she is. I feel fine. I'll stay here until it dissipates.
Be safe, Jacob.
Bye, Jack.
File number 1567. Interview with Dr. Rose Franklin, Head of Science Division, Earth Defense Corps. Location, EDC Headquarters, New York, New York.
Dr. Franklin.
Hmm?
Dr. Franklin, what are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
You are sitting on the floor with your eyes closed, surrounded by 1,000 body bags. You are doing something.
There are 861. It seems random. Why not 800? Or 1,000?
I assume it is the number of cadavers they could fit inside the cargo plane that brought them here.
I guess so.
You have not answered my question.
What was it?
What are you doing?
I was trying to imagine what 4 million body bags would look like. Could I see them all? Or would it look like an endless sea of dead people in every direction?
I do not know the answer. It should be relatively easy to calculate if it is important to you.
It's not. It's just hard to get a sense of what 4 million really means. Did you know it would take about 3 months with no sleep just to read their names out loud?
I see you've been giving this number a fair amount of thought. You should know that 4 million is only an approximation of the death toll based on other very rough figures. We do not know how many people were able to leave London before the attack, how many people lived in the area affected, how many were gathered near the alien robot, and so on. The final count, if there is ever one, may be significantly different.
It doesn't matter. It's still sad.
4 million dead is indeed terribly sad.
I don't mean that. I mean it's sad that their deaths aren't as important just because there are so many.
I do not see how the magnitude of the event makes their passing any less tragic.
It just does. Kara told me how devastated I was, how the other Rose was when 8 people died in Flagstaff while we were looking for giant body parts. I can only imagine. I sure felt the weight of the 136,000 who died during the first London attack, but I'm certain it wasn't 136,000 times what I would have felt for one. I'm not 4 million times sorrier now.
That seems perfectly normal.
Is it? Don't you think I owe it to every person I killed to feel their death equally?
You did not kill anyone, Dr. Franklin. It is only human to feel a certain part of responsibility. I certainly wish I had been able to prevent this tragedy, but you did not kill anyone. Aliens did. Without having so much as a conversation with us first.
I started this. They didn't. I fell in a hole, and I started all this. I had a chance to put it all behind me, but I managed to not only find the hand again, but to put Themis together entirely. How many people get a second chance? I got one. Look what I did with it. I should have stopped looking.
Technically, you are not the one who kept on looking. The other Dr. Franklin did.
I should have stopped looking. I should have left Themis alone. She knew. She killed me for it.
Mr. Couture and Ms. Resnick killed you, however unwillingly.
You don't think it means anything that I was killed by the robot I put together, by the robot whose discovery put everyone's lives at risk? I see poetic justice, but please tell me you at least find it a bit ironic.
You discovered parts of a very powerful weapon. There is a risk in dealing with dangerous things. People die every day because of their proximity to handguns or power tools or chemical drain cleaner. You found a 200-foot-tall alien weapon that weighs thousands of metric tons and is capable of destroying armies. You worked with it all day, every day. Had your insurance company been aware of what you were doing, your premiums would have increased 1,000-fold. Your death was devastating, but it was also highly probable. Furthermore, I do not believe you had a choice. I suspect you were steered towards the hand by forces well beyond your control. You did, however, get a second chance. You are here now. You are here so that you can help us save people. You will not be able to save them all. I could have told you that long before the attack, but I am convinced that you can save some. That may not sound wonderful, but there is a strong possibility that saving some of us is the best that we can hope for at this juncture. With that in mind, and with all due respect to your disproportionate feeling of guilt, I would like to know what you've managed to learn since these bodies arrived from London.
They died a horrible death. There are a dozen medical examiners doing autopsies around the clock, but the 12 they've looked at all died the same way. Extremely severe sepsis. Inflammation quickly spread throughout their entire body. They would have had a very high fever. Blood clotting would occur very quickly, restricting blood flow to the entire body. Without oxygen, all the major organs would start failing. The kidneys, liver, and lungs would go first, then death. They died, burning up from the inside, gasping for air. Do you still think it was a good idea to bring children for a picnic around the alien robot?
I never thought of it as good. I merely stated that it might have been our best chance of showing them our peaceful nature. I still believe it was our best chance.
It didn't work too well for these people.
It did not. Therefore, we must proceed knowing that peace is no longer an option. How long did it take for the victims to die?
It happened quickly. I'd say under a minute. We're getting video surveillance from all over London. The gas reached a uniform height of 230 feet. It spread in a perfect circle, approximately 12 kilometers in every direction. That's about 450 square kilometers, in just under 18 minutes. Everyone was dead after 20. The alien robot vanished shortly after. Has there been any sign of it?
It reappeared in Madrid almost immediately.
Are they evacuating?
General Govender is coordinating with local government in the 13 cities under immediate threat.
The other robots, are they?
No. Fortunately for us, none of the others have sent out any gas up to this point. We can assume it is only a matter of time before they do. If the survival rate is as low as it was in London, and only half of the population remains in these cities, we could have 100 million dead within 30 minutes.
How many have survived? I was told only a few hundred.
We are finding more as rescue teams sweep the city. The latest figure I received had the number of survivors near 1,400.
That's still horribly low.
It is. And most of them were found within 5 kilometers of the point of origin. The density of the population affected decreases as we move away from it, as more people were able to get away. I would not expect the number of people who came into contact with the gas and survived to increase significantly from this point on. I have requested that some of the survivors be sent here for examination.
They're here. They arrived an hour ago.
Have they been examined?
No. But they've all given blood samples on the plane. We should have those results in an hour. I talked to 4 of them already. I'll interview the rest when they come back. I sent them all to get something to eat.
How did they manage to stay clear of the deadly gas?
They didn't. From what they told me, there was no way to escape it. They tried to seal themselves inside a room, block every orifice with whatever was at hand, but the fog, that's what they called it, found its way in as if nothing was there to stop it. They say it came in through the walls. I know many of them didn't even make it inside. Some were part of the group gathered around the alien robot. They were exposed to the gas, breathing it for over an hour before it dissipated.
How did they survive? Were their symptoms any less severe?
What symptoms? They had none. They're all perfectly healthy. That's not true. One of them has a pretty nasty case of the flu, but I doubt it has anything to do with it. He says he's been sick for days. Whatever this fog does, they're completely immune to it.
Do you have any idea why?
No. They're all physically very different. They come from different parts of the world. I'll try to get as much information about them as I can. See if they share eating habits, some activity. It could be something they're in contact with at work or at home. The kind of soap they use, their shampoo. The ones I talk to aren't on any medication. I'll keep asking. It's possible something will come up when I talk to the others, but in all honesty, I doubt I'll find anything. There's a 6-year-old girl in that group and an 80-year-old man. How much of their daily lives could they have in common? I'm not the one who should be doing this.
You should stop doubting yourself, Dr. Franklin. I have every confidence in your ability to solve this puzzle.
You keep talking about me like I'm some sort of savant. I'm not. I'm good at what I do, but this isn't it. There is one thing, though. The person you want me to meet, the one who helped bring me forward in time, could he be a descendant of the aliens who left Themis here on Earth?
What if he were?
It's just a thought. But if these people, the survivors, were descendants of the people who built Themis, they're obviously not full-blown aliens, but say they were only part human. It would make sense for the attackers to spare them.
I was thinking the very same thing. I find it extremely difficult to view the survival of the people that were brought here as coincidental. If, as my contact suggested, people of alien descent have been walking among us throughout history, they might have some form of immunity to the gaseous agent used in the attack. Can you think of a way to confirm this hypothesis?
Like I said, this isn't my thing. I don't have the knowledge or training to deal with any of this. What you need now is a geneticist.
I may know someone who can help.
File number 1570. Interview with Dr. Alyssa Papantoniou. Location, EDC Headquarters, New York, New York.
Are the handcuffs really necessary?
They are not. This is a secure facility, and the odds of a successful escape are infinitesimal. However, given your history with the members of this team, I believe the restraints will help keep everyone at ease.
It's really hard to work with my hands tied together.
The chain is 14 inches long. I have requested it to allow you some freedom of movement. If any of the tasks you must perform require that your hands be farther apart, I have provided you with an assistant whose freedom of movement is unimpeded.
We're on the same side. You realize that, don't you?
You have made a habit of changing sides whenever it suited you.
4 million dead. What I meant was that there are no sides anymore. It's us and them. I don't think they would take me on their team, even if I wanted to.
60 million people died during the Second World War. There are still sides.
How many dead will it take for you to trust me?
Rest assured, Miss Papantoniou, I personally do not fear you. The restraints are not for me. That said, I believe that Mr. Couture would like you to keep them on, even if you were the only two people left alive. That would make the answer to your question approximately 7,125,000,000.
Why is Vincent still here? Haven't you sensed Themis?
What we have and have not done does not concern you. You were brought here for a very specific purpose.
I was just making conversation.
Then converse about the people who died in London. The medical examiner said they all died of sepsis.
Close enough.
Are you saying they did not die of sepsis?
Not exactly. They died of a systemic inflammatory response. But sepsis implies there is an infection present. There's no harmful pathogen in the gas. No virus. No bacteria. At least that's what I think.
What you think? Did you not analyze the gas samples they sent you?
There was nothing to analyze. The canisters were empty when I received them. But, based on the cell samples I looked at, I believe the gas contains a really, really smart molecule. One that binds to long DNA chains and causes the gene to create a different protein, one that the body doesn't recognize. The body thinks every cell is infected and starts attacking itself. The reaction is extremely severe and almost instantaneous.
Is there anything out of the ordinary about the genetic makeup of the victims?
I didn't check, but no.
I brought you here because of your expertise in genetics. I cannot understand why you would not see it fit to perform even the most basic genetic profiling on the victims.
I didn't count the bodies in London myself. But the report you gave me says that about 4 million people were exposed to the gas, and that around 2,000 people survived.
Exactly 1,988 by the latest count.
That's about 5 out of 10,000. 5% of 1%. That means 99.95% of the people exposed to the gaseous agent died. I don't need to do a lot of testing to tell you that there's nothing really unique about 99.95% of the population. The living, all 1,988 of them, are a lot more interesting.
Very well. What can you tell me about the living? I trust you have at least examined the survivors we flew here.
I've done a full genome sequencing on all 27 of them. They have really bad genetics.
How so?
They all share a cocktail of genetic variations and mutations, most of which are bad for you. These people shouldn't even exist.
Because of poor genetics?
Because of rare genetics. There shouldn't be more than one person with all these anomalies.
Please explain.
There are little errors in everyone's DNA. Most of them are S&Ps.
Pardon me, I know very little about genetics.
There are differences in only one base pair of nucleotides, one pair of letters. Replace a T and an A with a G and a C, that type of thing. The vast majority of these differences are in non-coding areas between the genes and no one really cares or knows anything about them. Those that occur inside genes are usually more interesting, and we're beginning to understand how some of them work. Differences that are more common are called polymorphisms. Those that occur in less than 1% of the population are called mutations. People shouldn't share multiple mutations.
And the survivors do?
A lot of them. Enough so that the molecule in the alien agent doesn't recognize any of the long DNA chains it's looking for. This many people should definitely not share this many mutations. It just doesn't happen.
It obviously does. How unlikely is it?
Well, let me give you an example. All the people you sent me have a mutation in their TREM2 gene. One of the things TREM2 does is help. Regulate immune response to disease and injury in the brain. There are all sorts of mutations that can make TREM2 not function properly. These people all have the same one. Variant R47H. That one is rare. It occurs in a little more than 0.5% of the population in certain places like Iceland, and it's even harder to find everywhere else. All of the survivors have the same TREM2 mutation in both copies of the gene. That's rare enough, I don't even have frequencies for it.
Is it debilitating?
It's been shown to increase the risk of developing Alzheimer's, but most people with a mutation won't get the disease, so no. There is also a mutation in the BCR2 gene. It increases your risk of breast cancer.
Do all the survivors have it?
They do. Both copies of the gene.
How uncommon is that mutation?
It's hard to tell. It's more frequent in certain ethnic groups, but overall, it's found in less than 0.5% of the general population. You see what I'm getting at? Assuming the two mutations are unrelated, 0.5% times 0.5% means that out of a million people, you should only find about 25 with both mutations. Of course, that's not all the survivors have in common.
Do all the mutations shared by the people you examined increase their risk of contracting a disease?
No. Most of them will have no effect at all. They do have one good thing going for them. They have a variation in their PCSK9 gene that leads to lower bad cholesterol. That one is found in about 3% of the population. If you do the math, there should be no more than 3 people with just these 3 mutations in the 4 million who were exposed to the gas in London. The people I examined share hundreds of SNPs, 57 rare gene mutations. You should not be able to find 2 people on Earth with so many rare traits in common. There aren't nearly enough people. I'll need blood from all the survivors to confirm, but I'm willing to bet they all have the same traits, even if it's impossible. It's not a coincidence that these people survived.
Could all the survivors be related? Having common ancestry would increase the likelihood of their genetic similarities, if I am not mistaken.
Some of them are. Of the 27 people you flew here, 6 are related to one of the others. 2 brothers, 1 brother and sister, 1 mother and daughter. Beyond that, no. 16 are of British descent, 1 is from Denmark, 1 from Morocco. There are 4 people from India, 1 Canadian, 2 Frenchmen. The mother and daughter are Russian. These people are related the same way you and I are related. You'd have to go back a long, long time to find a common ancestor.
Do you believe that these people were spared on purpose?
Yes. It has to be by design. Well, it doesn't have to be, but it makes more sense that way.
How so?
In theory, it could be that the aliens just don't know that these polymorphisms exist, and that's just a flaw in their weapon. But the molecule they built targets really long DNA chains, and at least from what I understand about genetics, that's a lot more complex to create, and totally unnecessary. They could have made a much simpler molecule that targets short DNA chains that everyone has. They could have used a poisonous gas.
Making botulinum toxin would be child's play compared to this. With the same delivery system, there are a million things they could have used that wouldn't have left anyone alive and are much easier to build.
They went through a lot of trouble to make it the way it is.
Assuming for a moment that these people do indeed share a common ancestry, could the molecule you described have been programmed to specifically spare their descendants?
That's an interesting idea. But no, it wouldn't work. You can't know what part of your genetics your children will inherit.
It cannot be a completely random process. Surely some of it is predictable?
Some of it is. There is a small portion of your genetics that only comes from your father, and a small portion that only comes from your mother.
Could that DNA... is it DNA?
Yes.
Could that DNA have been used to program the alien molecule?
No. It wouldn't work over long periods of time. How can I explain this? Imagine that you wanted to target the all the descendants of a John Doe who lived a thousand years ago. The only genetic material you can be certain John Doe passed on is his Y chromosome DNA, that is the sex chromosome. You could use the markers in that DNA, but it is only passed on in a direct paternal line from father to son to son to son. No women. If it were the progeny of a Jane Doe you wanted to save, you could use mitochondrial DNA. That is only passed on by the mother. You would get the opposite results, only women in a direct maternal line. That's an infinitely small portion of one's lineage, and these direct lines tend to die out. All it needs is for one father to not have a son, or for a mother to not have a daughter. You can look at it the other way. You have 16 great-great-grandparents, yet you share Y chromosome DNA or mitochondrial DNA with only four of them.
Could you not target specific markers from normal DNA, which I believe is passed on from both mother and father?
It's called autosomal DNA. Like you said, you get more or less half of it from your mother, half from your father. You have two copies of each gene, but you only pass on half of your genes to your children, and you don't get to pick which ones. It's called recombination. Autosomal DNA recombines every generation. That means how much DNA is shared with a specific ancestor gets cut in half every time. The parts that are shared also get shorter and shorter. Over time, there will be almost nothing left that is shared by all the descendants of a specific person, certainly not as much as what these people have in common. Take whatever mutation the survivors had. Both of their parents must have had it, but probably not in both copies of the gene. The parents would have died in London. The little Russian girl saw her father die. The same is true for their children. A lot of the survivors had children, and they all died, except for one. Their children didn't have all the same genetic traits, since they got half of their DNA from the other parent. Genetics gets really mixed up over long periods of time. If they were trying to save people from a single family, the gas would have wiped out most of their lineage, except for a completely random few.
Then, could you ensure that only descendants of these specific individuals survived, even if most of them were killed?
Maybe. A very small and very random fraction of them.
Is there anything out of the ordinary about the genetics of the survivor?
Have you been listening to what I said? Yes, having so many genetic variations in common is
definitely out of the ordinary. I thought I had made that clear.
You had. I meant taken individually. If you do not consider their shared genetics, or even the number of genetic mutations they possess, is there anything you would not expect to find in an average human being?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
I want to know if you can confirm with absolute certainty that they are entirely human.
Human? I do not... Some of their gene mutations are rare, but they are just that. Rare. There is nothing really unique about the genetics other than the fact that they share a lot of it. I have never examined alien DNA, so I have nothing to compare it with.
I will give you access to the remains of the two alien pilots who died a year ago during the first attack. Can you compare their genetic makeup to that of the survivors?
Do they even have DNA?
Not exactly. I do not pretend to fully understand the distinction or its implications, but if I remember correctly, the sugar in their nucleic acids is, arabinose.
That can't be right.
Dr. Franklin was also excited.
Shh. Should be. That is extraordinary. Is there anything else?
You can read it for yourself. See for yourself. I will provide you with the reports from the geneticist who first examined them. How soon can you tell me whether their genetic structure matches that of the survivors in any way?
I'm not sure that I can. You're really talking about apples and oranges, but I will certainly try. Thank you.
Do not thank me as if I have in some way done you a favor. You are probably the one person on this earth I am the least inclined to please. And if anyone had told me a year ago that I would grant you access to everything you dreamed of, I would have told them, well, I suppose this is as close as we will ever get to hell freezing over.
File number 1571. Transcript. Online Gaming Chat Room Surveillance. Reynard Program. World of Warcraft. Aegwynn Realm. Eva, 002.
Essie, I can go.
Skyjumper.
Hi, Eva. Go where? To your place, I can go. I can sleep over. Your mom? She said yes. I can do what I want. How come? Mom believes me now. It happened just like I told her. What happened? Those people in London. I saw it. That's messed up. She thinks I'm talking to God. Are you? No! Can I come? Don't know. Everyone's scared. M and D stopped going to work. Can't go out when it's dark. Same here. Soldiers everywhere. But please, I'll bring you those rocks I found. I'll ask. Eva, those people are dead. You're not afraid? I am. I was scared before everyone was, but I want to see you. When? I don't care. We can make jewelry. I have new charms. Lots. I'll ask. I need to get out of here. Please say yes. Okay, stop. I said I'll ask. Wanna play this or not? Okay, but we should switch service. Paladins everywhere. Pallies suck. Later, though, told Miguel we'd duel here. Be back in a sec. What? No, raid is starting. Lots of noise downstairs. I hear Mom screaming.
File number 1574. Interview with Lieutenant General Alan A. Sims, Commander, Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC. Location,